boys and girls, welcome back to the Chocolate Puma Podcast. It is I, your boy, the Chocolate Puma, back with another great episode this week. I got a special guest this time. I am joined by the actual first person that I met when I went to college. I call him the Wee Man. You guys can call him Pete. And we have a good sit down. We talk about racist announcers whose sugar spiked, so it's okay. We talk about the NFL, and I'm pretty sure that the Bears' latest decision does come up. We talk about the NCAA tournament. It's just a really fun talk with a really good friend. So sit back and enjoy. If you would like to email the show, remember we are at thepumapod@gmail.com. And if you would like to follow me on the Twitters, my Twitter account is at btomp20, B-T-H-O-M-P-20. I am still on there. I have not been suspended yet, probably because Ben Roethlisberger or Sean King have not found me yet. So I am still spitting my very hilarious, ridiculous brand of shenanigans. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give to you my buddy, my boy, Pete. How have you been during this whole year of, actually it's a year to the day.
Is it really?
That I stopped working. Because I've been doing a song of the day every day that we've been in pandemic, and today it marks 1 year.
I should have written it down. I don't know the exact day. I know I'm really close. I think it might have been like just after St. Patty's Day. Because I remember the last buddies we hung out with, like the weekend before, we were watching the news. And we were like, man, all these dumbasses are going to go out for St. Patty's Day, get the Rona, passing along to everyone else, and it's over. So I knew it was around then, but I don't know. It's been an adventure. It's wild. It's like most things in life, like some things are terrible, and other things, like you realize how grateful you are for it. Like grateful for a home that I can be safe from all these assholes out here, and like grateful for a job that I don't have to be around assholes and I can just work from home at. But at the same time, I don't get to hang out with friends, and even when I do or go out in public, it's like, I shouldn't be this scared just to go to the grocery store to get some oranges, you know? So it's been an adventure, but bottom line is I've been thankful enough to be healthy. So I can't ask for much more.
Yeah. I feel you. Like Carrie works from home anyway, but I was off work about 6 weeks during the first phase here last year. And I mean, that sucked, but the good thing was I got to spend like 6 weeks with Julian at like, you know, all the time. And I don't usually get to do that. So, yeah. I mean, so it wasn't all bad. I mean, all things considered, like, of course, globally, it was terrible, but on a personal level, I did get to hang out with the boy quite a bit. It did make me realize that I need to, like, reach out to people more, because I totally realized, like, damn, I miss my friends.
I think I felt the same, where, like, I'm pretty introverted, and I'm not really good at doing that anyway, so I did kind of, I think it just magnified things you take for granted, whether it's friends or like for Kristen and I, like we loved going to concerts and like just going places and not feeling anxious. It's like, shit, now I can't go see live music. I can't go pick up food and not have to worry about getting someone else sick, myself sick. So yeah, I think,
yeah, I know that live music one is killing you.
Man, we had concerts lined up. We were pumped for it. We were going to go see Jason Isbell at Wolf Trap. It's a concert place here in Virginia. And we're going to go see Brandi Carlile and who knows who else over the summer. And nope. Had to sit on my couch. I remember that first night of first weekend of the Rona when DJ D Nice was putting it on, and I was like, this is great, we're gonna be okay. And then, like, 2 weeks later, I'm like, music's never coming back, I'm done, it's horrible.
I was so excited for, like, the Versus series on Instagram, like, just for, like, some sense of, like, oh, I'm hanging out with a bunch of people I don't know. Like, it's like being at the House of Blues watching the Roots again, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I usually found out about them too late because I'm old, I'm white, and I can't really use Instagram all too well, but... I did catch the D'Angelo one a couple weeks ago, and it was a really good reminder that I should listen to D'Angelo more and all the music from that era. So, you know, it was still good to hear music like that and be like, damn, I need to get with it. I'm not that old.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the best part of the whole Versus thing, is like, it made you realize, like, damn, I haven't listened to like Voodoo in forever. I need to get on that.
And it is wild that, like, I couldn't go to concerts and anything, but, like, more than ever, music has, like, kept me functioning and somewhat abated the anxiety, where, like, you can't escape it, and some days are worse, and then even besides the Rona, all the horrible shit that happens in the world regardless, but, like, you always got music there. You can just put on headphones and just shut up and listen. So there was a lot of that in the last year as well, just remembering good music and remembering the songs that remind you of places or moments with buddies or friends, and you still got that.
So yeah.
Not all is lost.
I mean, I did lose, you know, Kanye West this year. That was a hard one for me. You know how much I loved Kanye West, and oh God, that one hurt. That one hurt bad.
Man, he just went full off the rails this year. Shocker, I couldn't believe his presidential campaign just didn't get off the ground. I just never saw it coming, but
the man held him down. That's all it was.
Yeah. I mean, when the man holds you down, you got to go to Wyoming, I guess.
And yeah, put on fake gospel shows.
And what was that picture of him where he was like all silver? Was that this year?
I think that was last year.
Yeah, I should have seen it coming then. Yeah, Kanye, come on, man. But the music's timeless, even if he's a moron now. So I don't know.
Yeah, I was coming home today and Touch the Sky came on my commute playlist, and just a single tear almost rolled down my cheek. I was like, I was so happy that first time I heard Late Registration. And now I got to just think of you like a bad relationship.
Yep. You're like, damn, why do you have to do that, Kanye? Ruin this. Why?
We had a good thing going.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But speaking of, like, good things, well, no, this isn't a good thing. Who am I kidding? This is an absolutely awful thing, and it's the worst excuse for being racist that I've ever heard in my life. So for people who don't know, there was an announcer for, I believe it was Oklahoma high school girls basketball game. And as the girls were getting ready for the national anthem, a few of them took a knee during the national anthem. And one of the announcers had a hot mic, and he did learn the very valuable rule that if there's a mic in front of you, you always have to pretend like it's on. And he said, and I quote, "I hope Norman gets their ass kicked." He continued. Fucking niggers. So after that, it did not go well for him. He lost his job. The Oklahoma Secondary School Activities Association said that the broadcast team would not be used again. They condemn and won't tolerate the disgusting words and attitudes of those announcers. What I feel bad, actually, you know what? I don't feel bad for the other announcer who didn't say anything. But they're like, these announcers are fucked up. And, you know, the other guy's like, wait a minute, I didn't say anything. But he also didn't say anything. Like, he should have been like, hey, that's not cool, man. Like, something. I don't know.
If this dude just did this,
he just
but it gets better.
Oh, it gets better. Because he blamed the racist incident on his type 1 diabetes. Now, my mom has diabetes. And from time to time, her sugar has dropped. It has spiked. Never in the, I'd say, 20 years she's had diabetes has she just randomly thrown out some slurs. Let's see. In his response, he Matt Rowan, a former youth pastor, no less.
Of course. Of course.
He believed his microphone was off. Well, duh. And he said, during the Norman High School girls basketball game against Midwest City, I made inappropriate and racist comments, believing that my microphone was off. However, let me state immediately that there is no excuse for such comments. I have not only embarrassed and disappointed myself, I have embarrassed and disappointed my family and friends. Mm-hmm. He goes on to further explain that his diabetes will sometimes cause him to say hurtful comments.
Right.
I will state that I suffer type 1 diabetes, and during the game, my sugar was spiking. While not excusing my remarks, it's not unusual when my sugar spikes that I become disoriented and often say things that are not appropriate as well, and they are hurtful. I do not believe I would have made those comments absent my sugar spiking.
Yeah. So I got a couple of things that I thought when I heard this. First off, this is the most raggedy ass Snickers bar commercial I've ever heard in my life. Like, come on, man. Like, your blood sugar, like, okay. That's number one. Number two, you know how low the bar is to be racist in Oklahoma and get away with it? Like, it's Oklahoma. Like, basically the whole state is based on racism, where you like just went and took other people's land, call it your own, and then like tried to keep other people out and just make everybody's life a living hell if they weren't as pale as you. So like, if he really felt that way, like, just, you know, say it in a way that makes you sound smart enough that if you're racist, you can actually say it and not get fired. But no, you're too stupid to do that. And then, I don't know, the only, it's not even credit, I guess, I don't know. I like creativity, so I guess I'll give him 1 point for being creative, but still, like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. It's a new one. It doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, it's like, well, hey, at least you said it's a new excuse. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Brian? Because
I grew up in Mississippi, so I've heard some real humdingers for excuses for racism. Type 1 diabetes is a first. What I did love, though, that there was a nonprofit group for type 1 diabetes research that responded and said, there are a lot of symptoms of high blood sugar. Racism is not one of them. Oh, man.
It needed to be clarified.
Yeah. It's just so funny to me. Like, he's probably going to go on and get a GoFundMe started. He'll be held up as, you know, some victim of cancel culture, because, you know, that's a thing, apparently.
It's the Kyle Rittenhouse of women's basketball now.
I say it all the time. Nobody gets canceled. And I know that nobody gets canceled because Mel Gibson stars in family movies now. And he called a cop sugar tits and said the Jews were responsible for all the bad things in the world. So yeah, nobody gets, if that doesn't get you canceled, I don't know what does.
You know, there's probably a place in Oklahoma for that guy where he'll feel just as home as he was before he said those comments. Maybe it's the church that he was a youth pastor at, just spreading the gospel. Maybe, you know, I don't know where, but you know what? He's in Oklahoma, so fuck him. He can just stay there. It's Oklahoma.
Yeah, that buddy's going to be just fine. Okay, racists always seem to find a way to bounce back. Yeah. Except for Kramer. I don't think he ever bounced back, but I think that's more of a talent thing than anything else.
He also realized that he was rich enough when he was racist, that even if he lost everything, he still wasn't going to lose all his money. So he's doing fine. He's in syndication still.
Yeah, he's got that TBS money, so I don't think he ain't hurting. I will tell you who is hurting, though, and that is your boy right here, Brian Thompson, because my beloved Chicago Bears. And this is like an abusive relationship at this point, because you've known me for, it's 2021. So yeah, you've known me close to 19 years.
Long time.
In this 19 years, I've ridden hard for the Chicago Bears. And for 19 years in a row, they've left me disappointed. And damn it if they didn't do it again yesterday.
They in a blood sugar sort of way, just came up with another way to just shock you with how they fuck it up.
I mean, and they came out of nowhere too. All offseason I've been hearing Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. I even heard a few Jimmy Garoppolo's sprinkled in there. And I was like, you know what? Fine. He's a young dude. I heard Sam Darnold. I'm like, fine. You know, go outside the box. Whatever. Young enough to maybe we can turn it around for him. I hear that, you know, the Seahawks aren't trading Russell Wilson. I'm like, all right, well, I wonder what we're going to do. And before I can get that thought out, it's reported that the Bears have signed Andy Dalton, who is 68 years old and has never got the job done, even with superior talent than he's going to have on the Bears. I don't even have the words.
I feel for you. I don't think there's anything, like, as a sports fan, I don't think there's a much worse feeling than knowing that, like, you root for a franchise where, like, the management of that franchise is totally inept and it's never going to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never going to change. How do you go from trying to get Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson to feeling that Andy Dalton is the best you can do? You didn't even trade for Carson Wentz. Like, at least Carson Wentz has done something of, like, hope and promise. He's not very good. He sucks. But at least he was something. Like, not only Andy Dalton, like, never done anything with, like, A.J. Green as his receiver, but, like, he's old as fuck. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
What I didn't get, though, was, okay, you signed Andy Dalton. Do you know who had a higher completion percentage, more touchdowns, and higher QBR than Andy Dalton last year? Mitch, I like to kiss titties Trubisky.
If we were
going to just punt on this year, bring back Trubisky, okay? Let's go full tank. That's what I hate about the Bears. They never go full tank. Like, if you sign Trubisky, you go full tank. Just, we're shooting for 2-14. No. What they want to do is they get a veteran in there who won't lose a bunch of games. So we'll end up 8-8.
Yeah.
8-8, maybe 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
We might steal that last playoff berth like we did this year. Get blown out in the playoffs. Be too far out of a good draft spot to get a game changer. And then we hit repeat every year. It's the same damn thing. And they get me every damn year.
Gotcha again.
So who's the real idiot?
That's, yeah, but I mean, that's your team. It's kind of like, you can't quit on them. Because it's like, damn it, I want to be there when they finally get their shit together. But damn it, they did it to me again.
please get your shit together. Like, my God.
Is Trubisky even, like, found a new place to play? Because, like, maybe they'll just bring him back.
They probably will, because he still has not signed anywhere yet.
Yeah, nobody wants him.
I'm looking at, like, a list of the quarterbacks here that were available. Jacoby Brissett, better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, better than Andy Dalton. Cam Newton, better than Andy Dalton. Ryan Fitzpatrick, better than Andy Dalton. Jameis Winston, better than Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm. Those are the worst options.
Yeah. The Bears have me beat down so bad that I was all in for the Jameis Winston experience. Okay. We don't have a Publix, so we don't have to worry about him stealing crab legs. It would have been all good.
He would have found crab legs. Like, it's a big city in Chicago. you don't sign as a free agent not knowing where the crab legs are. Let's be honest. He would have found some crab legs, probably done some stupid stuff. But he probably also would have had a couple games where he threw like 380 with four touchdowns and like destroyed the Vikings and made Kirk Cousins look like a shit bag. And like, that would have made your year. All you really want is to make Kirk Cousins look like a shit bag a couple times a year. And like, that's it. Like, just whoop someone's ass a couple times and that's fine.
I mean, I was all in on Jameis he had that season where he threw for like 35 touchdowns, but he also threw for 30 picks. And he threw for like 4,500 yards. And he was doing this while he couldn't see. The man got LASIK in the offseason. And they're like, oh, yeah, you should have done this years ago. He won a Heisman and he can't see. Like, that's nuts.
Fucking daredevil. Daredevil out there. Just winning some stuff and just not seeing and still just being a menace.
A very problematic daredevil.
Who likes crab legs. He loves them.
Crab legs among other things. And that's all I'll say about that.
Man. Yeah, I don't know. I saw that one and yeah, I haven't followed too much of the free agency, but I saw enough tweets and notifications when the Bears signed Andy Dalton. And I just thought of you. I said a little prayer. I'm like, you've been through a lot with COVID this year. Just to top it off with a little Andy Dalton, just to wrap it up.
And, you know, the first year we moved to Michigan, the Bears were amazing. They went 13-3. They had the top defense in the league. It was the first year of Khalil Mack. Mm-hmm. And I got tickets, thanks to our buddy Benny Manos, got tickets to the Lions-Bears Thanksgiving game. And we're on the sideline. And I'm just like, wow, look at these guys. They're about to turn it around. And I'm here on the ground level. Wow. And now 2 years later, here I am, crying and bitching and moaning on a podcast about how the Bears have hurt me yet again.
All up. And I mean, you know what they're probably going to do? They're probably going to draft a quarterback in the draft and start the cycle all over again.
It's funny. Julian was, I think, maybe 6 days old when the NFL draft happened in 17. And I was waiting for the Bears to pick to go and pick my mother-in-law up at the train station. I'm sitting there, I'm holding my sweet little baby boy, the apple of my eye, and he's just got this calm look on his face. And I see the Bears have traded up to number 2, and I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna get Deshaun Watson, the quarterback that beat Alabama twice, and a black quarterback, which, as you know, I'm all about put the black quarterback in until it's Henry Burris, and then I'm yelling, take the black quarterback out.
You only need to give him a chance at least, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's all I ask. So I'm like, wow, We're going to have our first black quarterback since Henry Burris. This is amazing. What a moment in history for my baby boy to see. And then they say, Mitch Trubisky out of North Carolina. And I go, fuck!
Had you even heard of Mitch Trubisky at that point?
I had heard of Mitch Trubisky because, as you know, I'm a North Carolina Tar Heels fan.
That's true. Okay. So yeah, that's true.
I had watched a couple of Tar Heels games, and, you know, I didn't see anything that made me think, like, man, I see why people are clamoring for this guy. I mean, he was kind of gumpy, had a couple of good games, but nothing to write home about. And I'm like, we traded up to get a guy who the team we traded with wasn't going to draft. They were drafting a defensive lineman, and we gave up picks to draft this guy.
Did Mitch in those games give you the feeling that he could beat Alabama?
Absolutely not. I thought that he might, you know, be a like bet on Alabama in those games, but I didn't think that he could beat Alabama. Like, it was absolutely insane. And I looked down at Julian. And I was like, please, son, don't do this to yourself. Don't pick a football team like this, the love. I don't want you to learn from my mistakes.
Pick another team. Well, he'll probably still have Tom Brady in the NFL when he gets old enough to choose a team, and maybe he'll just go with the Bucks or
the reanimated corpse of Tom Brady drops back to pass.
Yep, and still wins Super Bowls and still dominates, but it is pretty shocking. And here we are, what, 4 years later, the man who drafted Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson thinks giving that contract to Andy Dalton is a good idea.
Well, what I loved was his reasoning for drafting Mitch Trubisky was, you know, I liked him. He drove up in an old Nissan Altima. I'm like, that's your reason for what? You are running a billion-dollar team here, and you are basing your picks off of a rundown Nissan Altima? Sir, are you on crack?
I mean, I think that's just a cover. I think the guy just saw a fellow titty lover and responded.
I wish he would have said that. I wouldn't have had a problem with the pick then if that's what he said.
Hey, you can't. You can't fault the logic there.
Like, I'm like, you know what? Hey.
Titties. You know, they gotta respect it, but
it's a bonded thing, man.
Hey, at least that's it's a lot worse reasons to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
There have been quarterbacks drafted for a lot worse reasons in the past.
Well, I mean, what, Jamarcus Russell went number one because he threw a football from his knees like 50 yards and Al Davis got a hard on and said, like, that's the guy.
That's him. That's the guy. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I guess I missed my calling because I had a lot of things going for me that I could be, you know, an NFL general manager, I feel. Like, first off, I'm white, which, you know, that never hurts. Second of all, I watch a lot of football, and I can literally remember the names of the quarterbacks who have beaten Alabama. Maybe, you know, there might be like two or three in the last 10 years. So that narrows down a lot of things, a lot of scouting there. And yep. Then, you know, just throwing a dash of like, does he seem like he knows what he's doing, or does he seem just like a dumb fuck? And, you know, you're 90% of the way there. That's the job. Just find a quarterback.
It's really not that difficult. Like that year, it was just the easiest. Chris Rock, like, said it best, like, remedial, all you gotta do is say yes, pass the test, and he failed miserably. Like, even trade down and get Pat Mahomes. I mean, of course, he wasn't Pat Mahomes then. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I was like, oh, Mahomes is the guy. Mahomes is the guy then. But, you know.
At least he could throw it.
He was better than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, at least he could throw it 80 yards, so at least he had that going for him. I didn't know if Mitch could throw a football.
Look, all I knew about Mitch was that he liked titties.
That's it. Which is fine. But, I mean, can't be his franchise savior automatically just on that one fact, as much as it's all the common ground that can unite this world. It doesn't mean you're going to be a good quarterback.
Exactly. I mean, I'm going to stop talking about Mitch Trubisky here for just a second. I got to, because this is how I've been feeling here. I'm feeling like Tom Brady is getting a little bit too much credit here for things. And I think I need people to pump the brakes just a touch. Like, we can call him the GOAT. We can do all these things. But to, I mean, we're not going to just sit here and pretend like that Green Bay game, he went out there and just lit it up the whole game. Like, he threw three picks in a row. He tried to lose that game, but, you know, the coach of the Packers decided, I don't want to win this game.
The greatest skill, I think, of any pro athlete is not being stupid when you can't afford to be stupid. And, like, for all Tom Brady, he threw some picks, but he wasn't stupid when they couldn't afford for him to be stupid. And yet, the Packers were. Like, the coach fucked up. Rodgers fucked up. All these other teams did, but not Brady. He never does. He may not be the reason, but he ain't the reason they lose.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying, like, he's – I give him all the props in the world for making the right plays when he's supposed to. My only issue is – people just ignoring the negative, like when it's like right there in your face, like the Saints game. Like if Drew Brees doesn't have like baked lasagna as an arm, they beat Tampa Bay. Like Jameis came in and threw a 58-yard touchdown and then just like went back to the bench and started eating crawfish and they didn't bring him back in again.
I can relate because as a Georgia football fan, this is kind of how I feel about Alabama football. They beat us maybe 25% of the time, and we fuck it up the other 75%. Like, it's nothing they do. It's just stupid shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just do stupid shit to ruin your chance, and that's like Tom Brady, like – they'll win you 25%, maybe even more, because he is really good, but he's perfectly fine to let you fuck it up and take the credit for it.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you've been in the league like 55 years like he has sure. been, I mean, you learn a couple of things.
You learn, yeah. And when you're like, well, I don't need to do much. I just don't need to be Mitch Trubisky, and we got a chance.
I mean, we do both love titties, but I think I'm going to hold on to the ball.
I think I'm going to throw it to Chris Godwin here.
I feel so bad for Allen Robinson. Like, I'm this close to, like, starting a GoFundMe to, like, free Allen Robinson. Because that man is such a good wide receiver, and the quarterbacks he's played for, Blake Bortles, Mitch Legend. Trubisky.
Legend.
Chase Daniel. Nick Foles.
Those are some titty-loving quarterbacks if I ever heard of some.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love my close personal friend Chase Daniel, as I like to call him. Because when we were at that Bears game on the sideline, he literally like walks right past us, and I was like, oh, this must be like one of the guys that like works in the communications office or something. I think I'm bigger than him. Like we were eye to eye. I was like, who's this guy? And then they're like, oh yeah, he's starting today. I'm like, oh, we might be boned.
You might, but then you remembered you were playing the Lions and everything was fine.
Oh, we were losing up until Eddie Jackson had a pick six. So
that's, yeah, that's about how it goes. Same with the Lions. They give you that hope, and then they pull it away. Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
I had a very spirited debate this week with coworkers about the Lions, in particular Matt Stafford, in comparison to, say, a Cam Newton. And I said that Stafford has had it relatively easy from a scrutiny standpoint in comparison to Cam Newton. And it apparently was the most controversial statement that has ever been uttered in the state of Michigan, because I had like five people coming over to tell me about how great a guy that Matthew Stafford was, and Cam Newton is just a hot dog and a show off. And I was like, I don't care about all that. I'm just saying Cam Newton is more scrutinized than Matthew Stafford. That was the entire point.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe they were concerned about your blood sugar levels, because it might not be quite as bad as that Oklahoma announcer, but, you know, it's still a strong take.
It was starting to spike, so, you know, I'd had some oranges and, you know, it leveled out a little bit. But, yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, Cam Newton had his smile, like, criticized, like, there were scouting directors that wrote articles about how that man smiled.
Yeah, it's too much fun. Yeah, he's like the tan suit of quarterbacks. Just a line too far.
Oh, they definitely brought up like how he dressed as a negative. And I was like, look, just because you don't like a little bit of sauce in your life, a little bit of spice, don't you take that out on Cameron Jarrell Newton. He didn't do nothing.
I wonder how much of that is true. Like, because it kind of happened with the NBA too, where like players started like, well, some dressed really good and a bunch dressed like morons. Let's call it what it is. But hey, yeah, it was their choice to dress like a moron. And everyone, all of a sudden, people are like, how dare they wear that? He looks ridiculous. He doesn't take the game seriously. Like, if I had $58 million and like nothing better to spend it on, I'd wear some stupid clothing too. Like, cause why not? That's my job when I have $58 million is to spend it on some stupid looking clothes.
And but, if you're being real, like if you're getting paid $58 million, you're like at the end of the bench in the NBA. So you're not going to play anyway. So you might as well have some fun somewhere else.
If you're in the NBA, you're making money. You're not going to be shopping at Kohl's. So like, be okay with letting people, like, you know, spend a $28,000 t-shirt to look like a moron. That's their job. You're in the NBA. You have a responsibility to a higher cause here to buy clothes from someplace other than like Target. Nothing that there's wrong with that, but that I'm not in the NBA, so that's my lane. Dude, go get some Marona flannel and, you know. It's my road in life. It's fine.
Dude, if I had NBA money, I would come to stuff dressed like the Cat in the Hat. I mean, I would be looking completely ridiculous, okay? So it's like they didn't want him wearing jeans and t-shirts. Okay, you got to dress formal. Well, then they started dressing too weird to be formal, so you can't do that. Now they're wearing, you know, Parisian-like homeless fashion. And that's too much. I'm like, pick a side, okay?
And then they put on a suit and look amazing. And then they get jealous that they look good in that suit and they can't pull it off.
So, oh, he's wearing Gucci. Look at him. Blah, 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 blah.
He wears the common man's suit. He should go to Men's Warehouse like the Trumps, and, you know, like I have to do.
I get all my suits off the rack.
I get three of those ties for $29.99 and I'm fine. I look good.
Yeah, you can't average 30 points a game, so shut up.
Yep, exactly. Oh, I don't know. Don't argue with Lions fans. I mean, what are they going to say? They're hurt.
Yeah, hurt people, you know. I know that. But, you know, when you start speaking from a place of, like, now you're just being illogical and ignoring statistics. True. That it's statistics. That's what gets me. Because if it, like this one guy was saying, like, oh, Cam Newton, he hasn't scored as much. He hasn't directed offenses as good as, you know, Matt Stafford. And I'm like, but the statistics state that he has. Like, that's math. I'm not making this up. Like, this is the box score.
Did Matt Stafford ever play in a playoff game?
He has played in two, I believe.
Two. And I don't even remember them.
He lost both of them.
I root for the Lions. I root for Georgia. So I know about Matt Stafford. I saw him play at Georgia. at least someone I pay attention to. And I can't remember either of those playoff games, probably because I knew they were going to get their ass whooped anyway. And it wasn't worth my time to get my folks up.
Yeah, yeah. You see, and that is where you are smarter than me, because I've watched the Bears against the Saints, and I was down here in utter pain. And Julian, like, looks at me, and God bless him. Like, he's like, "Dad, are you okay?" And I'm like, "No, son, I'm not okay." And he was like, "Is your team losing?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes, my team is losing." And he goes, "Well, why do they always lose?" And I was like, "Go to your room."
I don't know. The world is not a fair place. Cold, dark rock in outer space and nothing else.
We're just standing on a floating rock, and nothing is ever right, ever.
This is a life lesson. Nothing ever good happens.
Oh, don't love anything like this, son.
Turned into a life lesson moment real fast out of nowhere, just from watching football.
And then he just slowly walks out the room.
He's like, "Okay, Dad, I'm gonna go play with my toys."
Yeah, yeah. It's I always like, Carrie's like, can we watch the game with you? And I'm like, you are more than welcome to watch the game with me. However, you might not want to see me like this, because I'm not gonna be a very fun person to be around. Like, it just is what it is. Like, when it comes to the Bears, at least, like the Bulls have given me some success. The White Sox giving me some success. North Carolina basketball, a lot of success. I can watch those games objectively and be fine. Bears, buddy, I can't do it.
Yeah, Kristen, she knows. She's pretty well at knowing when it's a Georgia game that's probably gonna have a bad outcome. She could probably just tell the defeated tone in my voice before the game even starts. Like, "Oh, we're playing Alabama. We got hope." Nope. We don't have hope.
Like, "Oh, whoopee. Yay."
She'll come and check in every 45 minutes. "How's it going?" We're down 7. We're down 14. And then she just kind of, she knows. She just knows, like, yeah, it's not getting any better. Not this game. Maybe next week.
I mean, I've gotten better with, like, tempering my, like, expectations. Like, I've come to terms with, like, the fact that Bears-Packers is not a rivalry. I'm like, it's not a rivalry if one team wins every single year. And the Bears, like, if they win one out of every, like, 8, then we're, like, all super jazzed up. But it's not a rivalry. They don't even think about us, because why should they?
Yeah, it's not a rivalry if you're the team that's always losing and the only thing you have to fall back on is saying, "We're getting closer to beating them." Because if you're only getting closer to beating them, you're not beating them. It's the same with Georgia and Alabama. Like, "We're getting close. We got this recruit. We might do it. We're getting closer. Nick Saban's old. He's going to retire." Like, no, Nick Saban's still just going to whoop your ass until he's just content.
The reanimated corpse of Nick Saban coaches Alabama to a 12-1 record.
Exactly. They could have a hologram on the sideline of Nick Saban, like Tupac at Coachella, and he'd still be Georgia. And I've accepted that. It's okay. I found a peaceful place.
Look, sometimes you get to that point. Like, you have to. And I feel like this Andy Dalton move is probably the one that's, it's pushed this whole year. I've been joking about how, you know, as a lifelong fan of insert team that won here, you know, I might actually have to be doing that now. I might be a free agent.
Hey, if Allen Robinson can't be freed, maybe it's time for Mr. Thompson to be freed.
I got to live for both of us.
Right.
Like Bomani Jones said, I think I need to give up this narcotic. He was a Falcons fan, and then after the man of the year, Eugene Robinson, got arrested for soliciting a prostitute the night before the Super Bowl, he gave it up. And now he talks about how he just enjoys his Sunday. He's just flipping from game to game, just enjoying the games.
You never lose when you watch Red Zone.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here just like angsty. sweating, pacing in the basement, what just hand on the hips, just disgusted all the time. He makes a good point.
Just enjoy the games. I think, older I get, that's the way to go. Not worth it. Because even if Georgia won a national title, they still remember the stupid stuff they did. That's not going away. They're going to do stupid stuff long after, even if they do win a title.
I feel like I'd probably be if the Bears won the Super Bowl, like in, say, 3 years, I'd probably be sitting back and going, man, we could have done this like 4 years ago if we had just drafted Deshaun Watson.
What were we waiting for?
And if then, we could have pulled off that trade for Russell Wilson, we probably would have already had a Super Bowl. Maybe two.
Maybe two. Yeah, but nope. Nope. We're just going to be perpetually disappointed.
Even in success, we're going to be disappointed.
Kind of like the same experience shopping at Kohl's. Even in success, you're still going to be disappointed.
Exactly.
Shopping at Kohl's. This is our lot in life.
You found a shirt that matches that tie. Yay. But you also have a big stain on the sleeve. So that's why it's 40% off. Like, can't win for losing.
Nope.
You filling out a bracket this year?
No, because half the teams, I don't even know if they're playing. First of all, I haven't watched any college basketball this year because I just assumed the season would be canceled. And third of all, I don't like watching basketball games where people don't make jump shots. And nobody in college besides Gonzaga can make a jump shot. So I don't think I'm going to fill out a bracket. I'm too old to even stay up for the late games in March Madness anymore. It's passed me by. I'm not going to stay up late to watch Wisconsin play Virginia and it's 46-43 with 38 seconds left in the game. It's like, no. I'll stay up and watch Dame Lillard hit some 35 footers. But no, it's not worth it. Brackets, that was young man Pete. I'm old and just I'm old and washed. So no more college life for me.
It's funny. I had another hot take at work that had people in a tizzy. And it was college basketball is terrible. I mean, it's terrible basketball. Like, you have emotional attachment to it, like the sham of amateurism, blah, 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 blah. But if from an objective standpoint, the game of basketball, the beauty of it, it's not good. Like, every so often there's a transcendent talent that's really good at it. Like seeing Zion Williamson out there, that was like an event. Seeing Kevin Durant or seeing
Ja Morant when he was I watched that tournament game because he was just a badass.
Yeah, like some of those moments, like seeing they replayed Lehigh beating Duke the other day and seeing CJ McCollum out there who looked like he was 12 years old. But you could tell that dude is headed for some things. Like he's a baller. Yeah. The rest of these are collegiate athletes.
Well, and that's the crazy thing that I turn on a game and it's still the same boring brick fest in college basketball. And it's completely different than the NBA. And none of these college coaches change the way they coach to be more like the NBA. Like, Gonzaga's good because they can make jump shots. They spread the floor and, they actually try to score the ball within 30 seconds of, the shot clock. It's like, wow, stunning revolution here. Like, Alabama did that for the first time this year, and they're, number six in the country. Like, Alabama. Like, all they did was find some guys who can make jump shots and run fast.
Yeah.
That hard, you don't have to. It's not,
I love North Carolina. I love North Carolina, but they get all these big guys and pack the paint and do the four corners offense. And look, it's a nice little throwback to Dean Smith, but even Dean would tell you hey, it's time to change this up.
Yeah, it's North Carolina. I'm pretty sure you could find some jump shooters. And if you can't find them, you can pay them.
Yeah.
To play there. Like, let's be honest here. But...
yeah, like the year that they had like jump shooters, what did they do? They won a national title.
One shining moment.
2017. It's funny. It was also 2 weeks before Julian was born. Carrie was very uncomfortable. So she was sleeping, like, propped up on the couch. So I'm upstairs, like, quietly watching the game. And I'm just, like, trying, because she finally went to sleep. I'm trying not to get too amped up. And then they win it. And I'm just like...
I was worried you were, like, constipated or something. Like, no, we just won.
I swear, I thought I, like, gave myself a hernia, like, trying to restrain myself. But, yeah, you get some jump shooters, you win a national title.
So, with that said, who do you think is going to win it? Like, who's Thompson's final four?
My final four was Illinois. I got Baylor. I got Gonzaga. And I got Alabama. I got four teams that can shoot the ball and play defense.
All right, I gotta even look at the bracket here, because I know where the teams generally are, but can't quite remember.
Now I feel like Baylor though is, barring injury, I mean they've beaten everybody in the top 10 already, and they beat the hell out of them. Like it's,
yeah,
it's not like they were close games. Like. I keep hearing people talk about Iowa, and I'm like, yeah, Unibrow ain't going to do shit to those jump shooters. Like, come on.
Okay, I'm going Gonzaga. I can't take Baylor. Come on. I'm not taking any Baptists. Let's be honest. You know me, Thompson. I'm gonna go with Arkansas, because the 40 minutes of hell back when I was young was awesome. So why not?
God, if they bring Nolan Smith out, I would change who I want to win just so I can see Nolan out there.
Bring out Big Nasty, Scotty Thurman. Like, I'm picking them just because, yeah. So I got good memories of them beating Duke mostly and some other guys.
Corliss Williamson dunking on people was my jam back in the day. So
that's it.
I feel it.
Big Nasty. There's no one in college basketball now nicknamed Big Nasty. No one deserves it. Like, it ain't the same.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are no good nicknames anymore. I mean, period.
Because there's no one good. You got to be good to get a nickname. Like, what are you going to nickname Aaron Kraft?
Like, I don't think bitch is a good nickname.
It wasn't even, like, a good Duke villain. Like, even the Duke villains at least were good enough that you had to hate them.
Yeah. Yeah, like they were annoying, but they were also like tough as hell and good. Like JJ Redick, like for all the hell I gave him, like he would get knocked to the ground, get right back up with that freaking sneer. Ugh, God, I wanted to punch him in his face.
But he made jump shots and he was good and it made you hate him even more.
I respected him. I hated his guts, but I respected the hell out of him. Like, there's nobody like that now. Like, I've watched some of these guys, and I'm like, I just don't like you.
I'll go with Illinois, because why not? I got a bunch of buddies in Chicago.
Shout out to Dylan.
There you go. Gotta keep it real for my Midwest homies. And all right, what am I supposed to do in this bracket? I'm not picking Michigan. Come on. Alabama, I'll go with them. I don't want to pick them, but they're going to make it because they're Alabama and they're the Death Star. So I got Gonzaga, Alabama. It's the most boring bracket ever. Illinois and Arkansas. Lock it in. Take it to the bank. Take the DraftKings.
If I had a soundboard, I would play like that. Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. I'm going to write it down. I don't know. I don't have a pen. I'm going to forget in 12 seconds, but I guarantee 3 weeks from now, I'm going to tell you I was right. I had it all along.
I will call you back, and then you can come on, and you'll have 5 minutes uninterrupted to talk your shit.
Talk my shit. That's right. I appreciate that.
Oh, man. Anything else you want to talk about? Because I'm old and washed, and I can't think right now.
10 o'clock. It's getting late for us. You're on the East Coast. It gets late early.
Yeah, that took forever. I'm just now getting used to like that East Coast time zone.
Man, and then they throw this time change on us. Like, just keep it the same. Like, I know, you know, fuck Marco Rubio with like Papa John's dick, but like at least he's right about time zones. Like, it's 2021. We don't need to be changing this. Like, just leave it one way or another. Like,
yeah, seriously. Arizona's got the right idea. They just said, no, we're not going to do it.
Look at that backwards-ass state, how fucked up Arizona is. And even Indiana, the two of them. Okay. If you were expecting a basketball announcer to say some blatantly racist shit on the radio of a, no offense, but a high school basketball game, like not exactly a captive audience, name the three likeliest candidates: Oklahoma, Arizona, and Indiana. And two of the three, they could still get the time zone like right. It doesn't take much. Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on.
We're failing easy remedial tests, man.
I don't know. I might, you know what I might do? I might just not set my clocks ever. I might just be an hour off from the rest of the world and protest. Like, just keep my clocks. And you know what? You know, call me out if you want. If I'm an hour late, I'm going to be an hour late. If I'm an hour early, well, maybe you're just late.
Get on my level.
Yeah, like, you know, join or, you know, get out of the way. I just, you know, I'm a busy man. It's 10:04. I got things to do besides changing clocks twice a year.
I got all these watches. Now I got to sit down and change all the times on them. This is BS.
You know what the problem is? We don't have any updated appliances or like actual technology that changes it for us. We still have to do it ourselves, which is why we're so angry about it. Like, 5 minutes twice a year, we have to change all our old raggedy ass timers and clocks and all this stuff when we could be doing more important things.
Yeah, it's funny. I was like all grumpy, like in the car, like, ugh, I got to change the clock in my car and blah, 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 blah. And Carrie's like, oh, I think it's all fine. And I'm like, yeah, because you got a new car. So it does it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's just more evidence that, you know, this is what life has become. But you know what? Bringing it full circle all the way back to the Rona, as much as we have to complain about, we also have things to be thankful for.
We're complaining about changing clocks. So you know what? I'll take it.
We're well on our way to the Springfield retirement castle.
Oh God, it's going to be sweet.
You know, and you know what? We're not that far off from there, maybe 30 years. But you know what? This is America. We're still going to have fucked up time zones then. So we're going to keep going back to that well.
But I feel like even if they fix this whole time zone shenanigans, they'd find other ways to screw us over.
Yep, they will. They'll be like, oh, here, you get your time zones. Now, I don't know, now you got to pay taxes on time. We gave you the right to not change your clocks. That's going to be $300 a year for the right to not change your clock.
Oh, here's your fallback rates.
It'll be another bill. And we'll, you know what? We'll complain about that too. Because I've got time to complain. You know what? I've got time to complain. And there will always be time for that.
Oh, I'm good at complaining. Why should I stop complaining? Because other people aren't as good at complaining as I am.
Preach it. Speak your shit. Say it.
Damn it, this is my time. Okay, I've been working my whole life to get to the point where I've worked long enough to where I have to keep going to work, but I have the respect of people that I work with to constantly complain.
You get to a certain point in life and that's all you really need to do. Just have to complain.
Yeah.
It's not my fault people give me things to complain about either. I'm sorry. Like, you're all fucking it up. Like, maybe if you did your shit right, I wouldn't have to complain about it. So when you get it right, I'll stop complaining.
Yeah, I had someone tell me, like, basically, like, why are you just, like, just let it go? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to let it go. They're the ones that suck, not me.
Yep. If you say some stupid shit, it's not my fault. It's my responsibility. It's my calling. It's my duty to tell you that you said some stupid shit.
As an American, the founding fathers, God bless their racist souls, they would want me to call out all these acts of stupidity.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. So if you ain't saying some truth, I'm going to make it evident.
Oh, man.
Well, Mr. Thompson, thank you for having me on your podcast. I hope I have lived up to your lofty standards and have at least given you some good things to think about and complain about and commiserate with.
Oh, I think we did it. We talked that shit, and I'm pretty sure we solved all the problems of the Chicago Bears franchise while we were doing it. So, good deal.
And hey, even if we don't solve their problems, at least we can still agree, you know, there's nothing wrong with loving big titties. So,
shout out to the titty god, Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky, number one in our hearts forever.
But number, hopefully number three in like the unemployment line.
On the death chart.
All right, man. I will see you on the Twitters, I'm sure.
I will be there ready to drop those knowledge bombs for the 32 people who actually follow me and give a fuck about my things.
I feel like you, Andy, I don't know if she's a coworker of yours.
Caitlin? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But I was like, I interact with you three and my twin sister probably more than anybody else on there. So
come out to Virginia and we'll all kick it together here in the backyard and just have a jolly old time.
Hell,
and complaining.
Hell yes.
All right, man. Well, thanks for having me on the esteemed podcast, and let me know again when you need me to hop on board.
Oh shit. Sounds like a plan. All right, man. You have a good night.
All right. See ya.
Bye.